Hello, how's everyone doing this morning? Good. There's a little reverb going on here. Well, this time I do want to dismiss any kids that can go to Kids Zone at this time. Hope you guys have a great time. Enjoy with Miss Kathy. And for those of you, if it's your first time with us, or if it's been a while since you've been with us, my name is Chip Ward, and I am the new minister here at Lexington Christian Church. Over the past several weeks since off the new year, we've been discussing something that it's a good reminder for us, and that is to remember what we are about at Lexington Christian Church. What's our mission? What is our purpose here? And so I'm going to put a little quiz out there for some of you, okay? You are not allowed to look at your bulletins. You are not allowed to go look online at this point. I want everybody to be able to tell me what the mission statement of Lexington Christian Church is without me saying it, okay? All right, so on the count of three, I'm going to see if you know it, okay? One, two, three. And Hostway just helped you all out, just so I know that. So that's exactly right. So we can thank Hostway for that. He was your lifeline, as we say, if you were playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He was just your plus one that time, okay? Good job, Hostway. Way to go, buddy. I tell you, yes, it is. Grow in Christ, serve in love, make disciples. That's what we want to be about at Lexington Christian Church. It's something that we should all take to heart. And I hope that through the last couple of weeks, through the sermons that have been shared with you, that's stirred in your heart. But now what I'd like for us to do this Sunday and for the next 5 weeks is to decide what we're going to be about in making that happen. And I'm very excited over the next 5 weeks. I really hope and pray that you will plan to be with us over these next 5 weeks, unless you are deathly sick with the flu craziness going around right now. But I really encourage you not only for you, but for people that maybe you've been thinking about that could potentially really get this next 5 weeks. Very excited about it. And I strongly believe that it's going to help shape the culture for this year. And not only this year, but a culture in which that we're going to create as a church that I believe God will glorify and use. So at this time, I'd like for us to take a moment and pray as we get started and hope that the Lord would just bless our time together today. How about that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank you so much for who he is. I thank you so much for that he is the cornerstone, the chief foundation of everything that the church is and for us in our lives. Father, I pray, God, that these next 5 weeks, starting today, will help just build our faith and our ability to serve you, Lord. And I hope, in God, that you would just take this time today and just help us to glean from your word and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, at this time, you know, there's moments, you know, how some people can be about, you know, getting up and needing to and so forth. I do encourage you, if you want to take notes or anything like that today, or if you, to some of our people who came in a little later, we do offer some Bibles in the back now. That's one of the things that we are starting to do, is offer any Bibles that if you want to read along instead of just looking on the screen, or if for some of our Spanish-speaking friends, we do have Bibles in Spanish. If you want to grab one of those at any point during the sermon, you're welcome to. And also some pens and a notepad if you want to start taking some notes and things like that. We really encourage that. That's something that I really want you to feel like that's a way for which you to grow in your faith. But like I said, these next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about something that I've been... If any of you follow me on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, you probably see me post a lot of pictures with scriptures on them and so forth. I get my inspiration from the Bible app with that. But one of the things I've been doing is leaving comments on scriptures, kind of giving some teaching on that. But one of the things you'll notice, I do a lot of hashtags on there. And one of the hashtags that I've been putting up there over the last several weeks, especially at the beginning of this year, has been this. Go ahead and put that up, Hostway, for me. And that is the title of our sermon series, hashtag love on. And what I mean by that is that how we're going to love on people, how we're going to love on others, not just in the church, but in the community, and how we really, how that translates into loving on our God. And I'm really excited about this. And this specific word love, you know, I don't know about you, is the word love... has so many different definitions today, doesn't it? It depends on how you want to relate to it and so forth. There's so many definitions and the ways in which you apply it. It's a, literally enough. Have you ever seen, I don't know if any of you have seen this movie or seen a clip from the movie The Exorcist, where the little girl's head is turning around? Well, three times the speed of that and can make you feel like that's what love is sometimes. Your head's spinning all over the place. But it's important to understand, you know, love means a lot of things for different people. For instance, if you think about love of family, your love of a job you might have, love of our country, love of a spouse or a significant other, love for a cause. Hey, maybe even a love for your church. You know, it has so many different ways in which it's associated. So I was trying to think of ways in which we can relate that a little bit better. And one of those was song titles. So, and unfortunately, one of the things I was hoping to do was be able to play a clip or something like that, see if anybody would recognize it, but that was just hard to do. So basically, how many of you guys have ever heard this, the title of the song, Love Story? Anybody tell me who that's from? She's raising her hand. I love it. Go ahead, Megan. What do you think? What is it? Taylor Swift. That's right. Love Story by Taylor Swift. I just called to say I love you. Who knows that one? Stevie Wonder. That's right. Very good. And then, well, that's the power of love. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. See, I was multi-generational with this, okay? Going back all the way to the 80s. Something about it. Gonna have to face and you're addicted to love. It's right on the tip of the tongue. Mr. Robert Palmer wrote that one, yep. So lots of, and there's a whole bunch that have had the word love in it over the years. Then there's, of course, movie titles of famous movies. One of the ones that, when I asked Megan this question, I think it was the other night, I asked her, what movie do you think of when you think of the word love in the title? She immediately said, Love. Oh, what's it? Love Actually. Love Story. Shakespeare in Love. P.S. I Love You. Punch Drunk Love. Anybody ever seen that movie, Punch Drunk Love? Remember that one? And then there's another Crazy Stupid Love. Is one that came out a couple of years ago. For you James Bond fans, From Russia with Love. And then a final one was Eat, Pray, Love. And then for our baseball fans, For the Love of the Game. Okay? And so the word love is used in so much in our culture. It is quite a word, but I tell you what, there's nothing more compared to it when it's there's the love when it has God applied to it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today for the next 5 weeks. What is the essence of how God uses and practices the word love? And I really want us to learn on this concept and really understand what it means to love on people, love on each other, and love on our God. And so today, I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to be turning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And while you're doing that, you know, there's interesting things about love. There's, in the Greek, there's four forms of love. I don't know if you've ever heard of these or not, so I've listed them for you. The first one is called storge. It means an empathy, an understanding. When you're trying to empathize with somebody, maybe you understand what somebody's going through something. There's philia, which is friendship. It's a form where you just love a good friend. You have a best friend and you love them. You say, I love you. Eros is more of romantic love, or in expressing that in a physical way. And then finally, the love that many of us are probably familiar with when it comes to God is agape. That is an unconditional love. And that God summarizes that love in just the way in which he moves and so forth. For instance, in 1 John 4:19, he actually says, before we ever loved God, he first loved us. And he did that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16. And so with all these definitions out there, there's one that the Bible is actually really good in explaining this whole concept of the love of God. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13, which I asked you to turn to earlier. Again, it is in the bulletin in Spanish, but if you want to grab a Spanish Bible in the back, you're welcome to do that as well. Or if you need a Bible, there's also one in the back table there. But we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 today. and really get a good definition of this love on. So read with me on starting at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but if I have faith all so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have away, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Many people, when they hear this scripture, it gets equated a lot to how you're supposed to live your life in a marriage. I see a lot of the scriptures being asked for to be read and so forth because they think it's a good foundation for marriage, and I would not argue that. It's a great passage of scripture, but it's meant for something deeper. Paul describes some ways in which our lives can be without love. So in those first three verses there, it talks about, first, you know, if I'm able to be the greatest speaker, even to the point where I can speak languages fluently. I don't know any other language but English, and I barely speak English fluently. You know, the English language is probably, some have said, it's probably the hardest language to learn because there's so many different inflections and way in which you say it. But in many respects, I can even be able to speak a angelic language. But if I don't have love, this is all it is. Y'all want me to do that again? That's what I thought, yeah. I figured as much. Figured as much there. We're just a clanging cymbal with no rhythm, with nothing. We're just a bunch of noise, is all we are. Then he goes on to say that I can do the miracles just like Jesus and the apostles did. You know, I can take that, I could probably cure anybody's cancer in this room if they had cancer in this room today. You know, I could help you get rid of any type of ailment that you have. With just a blow on your face, or, you know, even if Jesus said, go outside and take dirt and spit it and put it in your eyes if you were blind. Or anything. I can do all of that. Hey, I can even have the greatest faith in the world, and I can tell Lookout Mountain over in Chattanooga to move and come right into the middle of the lake at Beach Lake. Okay? But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. That's a huge statement. I can be all these things. In fact, you know what? I can be the greatest supporter of any cause out there. I could donate my resources, my time, my energy into everything there. Hey, I'll be even willing to die for it. But if I don't have love, I don't gain a thing. And this is where we need to start asking ourselves, because this is a great illustration for us to measure this question. Where am I missing love? Think about that for a moment. Where in my life am I missing love? Because if you really evaluate, if you really think about it deep down, there's aspects of my life that I know I just struggle with, and I don't have love for it. So I wrote a few things down here. Do you feel like you're missing love when your child is misbehaving badly? Is it when you feel like you've been cheated at work or you haven't been valued? Or is it Maybe when life just gets a little routine-ish. Maybe life just kind of mundane and just going with the flow, going through the motions. Maybe that's when you don't feel love. Maybe when I'm in the classroom and I would just rather doodle on a piece of paper than listen to the teacher. Or even then, man, this one really actually got me. What if everything's going fantastic? What if everything's going great? Oh man, I'm getting everything I want. Everything's going fantastic. I'm completely happy. No worries, no cares. Isn't that when we could potentially, possibly not have love? Think about it. Man, we need love in every aspect of our lives. Because here's what our world teaches. Our culture and our world today teaches that it is completely and utterly that you should love yourself. And all you need to take about care about is you. Man, it just blows my mind that we as preachers in the world can teach on this, and yet we still have people who post on their social media sites saying, I'm so tired. I finally got to just start taking care of myself. I need to be all about me. It's all about my happiness. It's all about everything in my life going on. And our world has created that culture now where it comes from either posting it on Facebook to taking just the only pictures you ever take are just of you. And that's all you see is you. And here's the thing. That is a false love that's been fed to us by the devil. That we just focus on ourselves and let everyone else take care of themselves. And maybe you see it in different ways than what I'm even explaining. And I hope you do, because I hope you recognize the need for God's love in this world. There's many groups that talk about, you know, we need to love people. It's all about love. It is. But there's going to be a whole lot more power and greatness to it when it's God's love. Have you ever heard the phrase, and I think it's in the Bible, it's actually quoted, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Well, I thought about it, and I just thought, you know what? I'm going to take a stab at this and kind of create one as well. And it says this, you can go ahead and post it up on the screen. The love of the Lord is the start of transformation. I hope that's a statement that will resonate with you. That the love of the Lord is the start of a transformed life. So let's take a moment looking at the scriptures we just read together from 1 Corinthians verses 4 through 8. Let's break those down just a moment. And let's look at their definitions and let's look and see what Paul was getting at. These attributes of love, we want to call them. The first one is love is patient and kind. Okay? And amazing that Paul starts with this. So I got a couple questions for you. How many of you are really awesome, you got it down to a T, patience? Is kindness coursing through your body like blood pumps through your veins? Someone, maybe. Do you excel at both of them? Raise your hand if you excel at all of those two. You're doing a bang-up job. You can raise your hand. Okay, because if you did, I was going to come and you're going to take over me teaching. Okay, because I'm going to sit and learn from you. Because if you got it down, man, I want to learn. I want to figure that out. Here's the thing. I know I've come a long way in my life. Maybe you can think about your life and your circumstances. You can think, man, I'm decent. I'm better than I was. But at the same time, if I were to say I've arrived, that'd be like saying heaven has a ceiling, which it doesn't. We have all room to grow in these areas. God can reveal to us all these different things, because to have patience and love is an important aspect. I'm actually very glad that God is the epitome of patience and love. Can you imagine if we still lived in times where God's patience ran out? So I was thinking about this. I was like, has God ever had a time where his patience ran out? Now, think about patience in this. How many of us are patient, can be patient for one day? I can barely raise my hand. How many of us can be patient for half a day? Okay, Catherine raised her hand. There you go. How many of us can be patient for 1 hour? All right, that's a little better. I'm still not seeing all the hands up. So, you know, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good that we can all learn how to be better being patient and being kind. In fact, what does it really mean to be kind? To be kind is to be to someone is to show them tenderness, to show them compassion, to not react negatively in the face of conflict or crisis. And sometimes when it comes to being patient and kind with people, it's a tough thing. But just imagine if God lost his patience. The only times I ever really saw in the Bible where God lost his patience is when he flooded the earth with Noah, but that was thousands of years before that happened. And then with the Israelite nation, after they left Egypt from slavery, how he delivered them through that by working through Moses. And at one point he finally got impatient, but it was years before that happened. And now what's really awesome is that because he sent Jesus Christ to the cross, we haven't seen a display of impatience from God in quite some time. It's my hope and prayer we never see that God's patience runs out. Aren't we grateful that God's patience and kindness are with us? That to me is scarier. If God lost his patience and his kindness, that's scarier to me than dying, than what death is. Because we do not want to be on the side of wrath when it comes to God. But his wrath was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross. We can take hope in that. That was love in its purest display. So the next part, love doesn't envy or boast or show arrogance. Again, love doesn't envy or boast or show arrogance. We can go to the next slide, please. Again, this is a definition that seems to contradict our culture, where love is about oneself and making sure that everything revolves around me. What's another word for envy? Jealousy. And you know what? It's an interesting thing that the two tie in together. You know, jealousy is always seems to be something that, what does it really stem from? I guess jealousy stems from the fact that there's something that I see that someone else has. I want that. And that could be something material. That could be something relational. That could be something educational. It can be so many different things that can apply to. But here's a big point I want us to get out of this. Is the fact that, and I hope I come across this correctly. If I need to correct myself, I certainly will. Having envy comes from the lie of feeling incomplete. Go ahead and post that up there, Josue. Love, having envy, comes from the lie of feeling incomplete. Now, you might want to write that one down. Because here's the thing. I think many of us sometimes feel like, well, like for instance, I had a little, every once in a while I struggle with this. I'm human. I'm a sinner that needs grace and love by Jesus Christ. You know, there was one year where Megan and I, it was last year actually, we were just talking about this yesterday as we were in the grocery store. We've always had the big box heavy TV for our watching television. It took us a long time to catch up with people who are now having 55-inch, 70-inch flat screens. And finally we decided, you know what, it's time for us to get into the modern age. And we fell a little bit into the jealousy ranks there. And we decided we finally got one. It's nice and everything, but the truth is, could I really do without it? Yeah, I really could. I can probably do without some of my favorite shows, and I can probably do without a lot of different things, but we all get caught up in thinking that these things will complete us. And that is where the devil comes in and says, you need these things to complete you. That's the temptation. And if you feel like your life is incomplete, you need to measure and decide find out where God is not. Because if God is not in this particular area of your life, then you're believing you're incomplete. Where the truth is, when you're in Jesus Christ, you are made complete in Him. And the Bible talks about that. That you are made complete in Christ. And that you will be lacking nothing. Again, it has to go back to what we think is what we need versus what we want in life. And so just keep that in mind. Because here's what happens. When jealousy comes, then comes actually bragging or boasting, as the word is used here. And it's another term of self-endearment. And if we just to brag about our lives, our accomplishments, our achievements, hey, even our sorrows, our worries, our troubles, we leave no room in God's love to be in our hearts. And if we're bragging about those things, you know what that leads to also? Arrogance. It's kind of, I feel like this is a Yoda moment. You know, Yoda was teaching young Anakin in the Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. Listen, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. In this case, envy, jealousy leads to bragging. Bragging leads to arrogance. And arrogance leads to not needing God. You know, there's a scripture that talks about how God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So in other words, we just need to watch out and be careful that these three elements don't creep into our life, because there's love says, I don't have any of those things. Hopefully you have patience and kindness, humility. The next statement is, it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. You know, this particular scripture really does slap in the face of culture today. Because it doesn't insist on our own way. Throughout scripture, we are taught to be like Jesus, who thought of others more than of himself. And it saddens me at times to see people who have chosen to focus on what makes them happy instead of focusing on God, who gives both happiness and joy and peace along with compassion. It's this idea of thinking of others, which is people today, we hear constantly, you know, I need to take care of myself. You need to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. There's only one instance in the Bible I've ever heard that, and that was when Jesus was teaching where, you know, here's a plank. You're trying to take a speck out of your brother's eye. There's a plank in your own. You need to take care of the plank first before you can help it see to get the speck out. However, Jesus challenges us to look at ourselves more than ourselves. In fact, it's that second commandment right after love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's love your neighbor as yourself. Do you really understand that? Love your neighbor like you would love yourself. Help your neighbor out how you would help yourself out. The next phrase, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now this is the aspect of the justice of God. And we hear about all different things that are happening in our world today. The abuse that's taking place in the workplace. You hear about sex trafficking. You think slavery. that's still rampant in our world. You may not see it in America that much, but it happens all across the world. And we get behind things, we hear about these things, and either it breaks our heart, sadness, or it infuriates us with righteous anger. And it's an aspect of God's love that we don't talk about a whole lot. The justice of God. That aspect of love. That it rejoices with truth. And sometimes, you know, what's the old phrase you've heard? Sometimes the truth hurts. And it's better to tell the truth than a lie. Because the truth might sting, but at least you'll know at that point you were honest with yourself. If you keep adding a lie, what happens? Lie after lie. And you keep building it to the point you... It's like the cry wolf aspect. Hey, the wolf's coming. Oh, the wolf's coming. Oh, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden you say, actually, the wolf's coming, and nobody believes you. So it's the idea of us as a church, as an individual, we rejoice with the truth. And then we take the situation, we apply it to whatever is happening in life, and God is there to help us assess that. We should be lovers of God's truth and as He reveals it. And there's two more, and I love these. It says what love is. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. You could really sum that up into one phrase. God's love has no limits. It's abounding. It's eternal. It's forever. It can't be pushed down. It can't be distracted. It can't be limited. It is literally a limitless love. It's faithful. It's progressive. It's zealous. It's committed, and it's always available. Love helps us bear the trials we go through in life. It gives us hope, and it believes that we can do all things. And it helps us endure the crazy moments in life, the dark moments in our lives. And what's even more awesome is that love never ends. Amen to that. Because if God's love ended, I think we would be more of a broken, lost world. There's a lot of things in life that will have an end. But I'm grateful that God's love is eternal and it will never have an end. So, again, this love that we can put into our lives, we need to know the definition of it first before we can actually apply it. And now that we understand that, so where does this love truly come from? How can I get it? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 help provide some of that answer. Listen as this is being read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. How do we perfect this love? You basically take it and you apply it to not only your daily living, but also in the way the church, we live it out as well. One of the ways we do that is here in a moment, we're going to share a meal together. and we'd spend that time together. We love on each other. We pray for one another. We lift one another up. We help one another. Sometimes we've got to correct one another at times, but we do it with love and truth. But hopefully, today you've understood a little bit more of the definition of God's love. That it endures things. It keeps, there's another version says it keeps no record of wrongs. No. Love is kind and patient. Things that we can begin to apply in our lives. And here's the thing. It doesn't just come from just hearing it today. It's reading it over and over and applying it and applying it. It's like that clip of a video that you like so much, you play it backwards and forwards, or a song that you listen to and you just want to learn it and you play it over and over. You have to do that with your faith. You have to do that with the life and the love that God has given you. But maybe today, as you've heard this definition, maybe this is the opportunity for me to experience that love. And I hope and pray that if you haven't experienced this kind of love from God, that you will allow yourself to see the barrier that's in front of you and just knock it down and come forward and experience that love. As we can pray with you today and help you understand that. And if you want to give your life to God today, we'd like to help you with that as well. The singer is going to lead us in a song of invitation. Won't you stand? He is your cornerstone. And that through this next 5 weeks, we're really going to dive into what it looks like to love on people. And we're going to practice that here in just a few minutes and do that. So, you know, feel free. This doesn't have to end. If you want to talk with me or any of the elders or anyone else about some things in life, that's what we're here for. We're just here to love on each other, and we're here to practice on how we're going to love on the community. And one of the ways in which we can do that is a couple of initiatives that we want to go ahead and let you make you aware of. One has actually started, if you did it today, but this is something we're going to continue on in this series. We were just made aware that there was a food shortage at the food bank at the First Methodist Church. And so over the next 5 weeks, we would like to encourage everyone each week to donate a canned good or non-perishable item. We'll have a box in the activity center for that. If you didn't bring one this week, that's okay. For the next 4 weeks, we're encouraging everyone each week to bring something. And I'm not just talking about you're one and done. I'm talking about going above and beyond and showing the generosity and love that we have for this community and bring something each week. Okay, it's easy to just say I've done my quota and just done it 1 week out of four. Okay, I'm challenging each and every one of us, including myself, to go above and beyond that and to give. Let's show that, hey, wow, Lexington Christian Church really came through for us. We support them financially, but let's support them with resources at the same time. Okay, and then through that, and hopefully as we keep going through this series, you'll learn about some more initiatives that are taking place. But that's the first of many as it's going to be a part of this series. So at this time, I'd like to take a moment just pray for our time together and then also for the food. We should be ready to go, I think. Any word from the folks? Do we know? Are they ready for us? If not, they better hurry, right? thank you so much again for being here. And wherever you're at in life, know that you're being prayed for here at Lexington Christian Church and that you're going to also be loved on at the same time. And I do, one thing you're going to hear me say a lot over the next several weeks and months and the rest of this year, invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would just bless us, Lord. Thank you for this, your word. Thank you for the definition of love that Paul so beautifully put together, that you inspired him to write these words for us to understand your love and how we can apply that daily. And we really do, God. We need to apply it daily. We just can't just be content. And this is one area you don't mind us not being content, and that is to learn what love, your love is all about. I pray, God, that we only do that not just by knowledge, but through actions and in faith. I pray, God, that we will just take this and may it be a catalyst for us this year that turns into a habit, that turns into an expectation of us to you. That we love on each other, that we love on this community, and that we love you. And knowing, God, that you first loved us. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and how you demonstrated that on the cross and the love that you have for us today as you live within us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer and thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Amen.